Psalm 3, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? You notice in your Bible that this is an identifiable psalm. This is the first place the word psalm is used, which means smitings. And so this is a psalm of David concerning Absalom, his son. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. And I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. Meditate on these things. Think about that. I laid me down and slept. I wake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. God, speak to us. Encourage us as we leave, we pray. In your name, amen. I want to preach on the subject from this text concerning family fire. During the Iraq War, we had 148 soldiers that their lives were taken not by the enemy, but by friendly fire. You'll find that we had one soldier after 9/11 that enlisted. He was by the name of Pat Tillman. He was a player for the Arizona Cardinals. He just signed a $3.6 million contract. Just married, had a new wife. Pat Tillman walked away, became an Army Ranger. Instead of being a defensive back, he decided to defend our country. The story is that in Afghanistan, it came out that he was killed by the enemy. We found out much later, because the Army was knowledgeable all the time, that he was not killed by the enemy, but they did not want the publicity. That it was friendly fire. You know, friendly fire is accidental death. But in this text, there's family fire. And it wasn't accidental, it was providential. David's experiencing what he was told by the prophet, that the sword was not going to leave his family. In order to completely understand this text, you have to read 2 Samuel 15 through 18. I would encourage you to do that maybe this afternoon or sometime when you have some time to read the text. And you'll find in this story that David is going through a very difficult time. He's now in his 60s. And he experiences this family fire. See, it all started really in chapter 12 and 13 of 2 Samuel when Amnon wanted to have a sexual relationship with his half-sister. Said he loved Tamar. And so what did he do? He raped her. He probably justified it by saying, my dad killed a man. My dad committed adultery with a woman, Bathsheba. Then he fled. Why did he flee? Why did Absalom leave? Because he killed Amnon. had him killed. David is going through a very difficult time. Now, the reason I chose this for my last sermon is because we're going to see in this text David's faith. Three things I want you to see. First of all, what I would call the distress of unexpected foes. Then secondly, we'll notice the dependence of unwavering faith. That's the kind of faith I want to have. I want to have faith that's unwavering, unshaken, and undisturbed. I want to have faith that I know that God is God and God is the one I'm trusting. Then lastly, we'll notice his not only dependence, but his deliverance by really just the favor of God, which is undeniable. So first of all, the distress of unexpected foes. I chose the word distress because what it means is this. It means to be pressed in a corner. When you're distressed, you're pressed into a corner. You're in a tight place. And David found himself in a tight place. And in verses 1 and 2, I see three things about what happened to David. First of all, it was a time of insurrection. What do you mean insurrection? I mean that his son has declared himself king in Hebron. And you'll find that he had orchestrated this anarchy against his own dad. His intention is to take over and rule completely. Absalom was filled with this hate toward his dad. He wanted to overthrow the government. You'll find in 2 Samuel 15 how he did it. When he came back for those 4 years, he was sitting outside the gate and his people would come in. He was a smooth talker. He was a good looker. You know he wasn't a Baptist preacher. I mean, he was a smooth, suave. He was a gifted liar. He would fit in either political party in America. He was a man that told them what they wanted to hear. They would walk in and he would say to them, "What's your problem?" Now, David's not going to listen. My dad, he's not a people person, but I care about you. The Bible says he stole the hearts of the young people. Our colleges and universities have stolen the hearts of our young people. There was an insurrection. Secondly, notice with me, not only an insurrection, but identification. Now, notice what it says in verse 1. Many are they that rise up against me. Well, who are some of the ones that had risen up against him? Well, Absalom had recruited many of the soldiers out of David's army, and he had recruited the number one advisor that David had in his cabinet, and it was Ahithophel. And Ahithophel was instrumental in organizing this rebellion and revolution. Not only do you see in verse 1 the insurrection and identification, but thirdly, would you notice insinuation? What do you mean insinuation, preacher? Look at verse number 2. It says, "Many there be which say of me, there's no help for you in God." That's a reference to Shimei. If you read your Bible, you'll find in 2 Samuel 15:12 these words. "The conspiracy was strong, for the people increased against David." But also you'll find that there was a man when David walked down the Kidron. Remember, when Absalom declared himself king, the Bible says in 2 Samuel 15 that David was barefooted. And it repeats itself by saying David wept. And it talks about him having somewhat of a hoodie on. And he was walking down the Kidron Brook, right there where Jesus would later walk, up to Mount Olivet. And a man by the name of Shimei, who was Shimei? He was from the house of Saul. And Shimei said, there's no help for you in God. In fact, it reads in the Hebrew this way, you're not even saved, David. Now, David had some pretty stout guys with him. He had one old boy killed 300 at one time. And he looked at David and said, David, let me take him out. Study it when you read it later. David said, no, he's probably telling the truth. I'm not fit. Probably most of what he's saying is true about me. I know I'm saved, but boy, I've brought a lot of injury to my kingdom and my family and the sword is upon my home. As we journey through this psalm, beginning at verse 3, I want you to see David's dependence. And I call it unwavering, unshaken faith. There's four things David said about God. Now, when's David writing this? Well, let me get the setting. I really didn't do a good job in my introduction. David's at Mahanaim. How long did he journey in fleeing, barefooted, crying and weeping? At least 48 hours. When's he writing this? He's writing this not the first morning after fleeing. He fled all night, fled all day, and then he went to bed the next night. He's wore out. And he's not writing this that night. He's writing this the next morning. And then he'd write Psalm 4 the next evening. And then he would write Psalm 5 the next morning, and then he would write Psalm 61, 62, and 63 and reiterate this. Four things he said about God. Beginning at verse 3, first of all, notice he said that God encircled him. What do you mean? What's that about, preacher? God encircled him. He said in verse 3, but thou, you know this is a song. Thou, O Lord, art a shield. That's not just a shield that you held out. That's not the Hebrew word. This is a word for shield that means that this shield was in the front of him, it was in the side, both sides of him, and it was down the back of him. Now you take, when you preach sometimes, listen to me, preachers, don't ever preach a text without filtering it through two things, your systematic theology and your biblical theology, and letting it be an understanding from the New Testament perspective. Because I want to tell you something. God does not only live in front of me. God not only encircles me by living beside me. God is not only behind me. God's moved from the outside to the inside. And so you find that God is not only encircling David, but God has deposited his own life inside of you. And so David said, God has encircled me. Secondly, David said, not only God had encircled him, but God had exalted him. I want to quote Vance Havner. I pastored in Greensboro for 8 years, and the man in my church that was a member cut Vance Havner's hair. Vance Havner actually didn't have but two, but he wanted them cut regularly. Here's what Vance Havner says. He said, when man makes an alliance with the Almighty, giants look like grasshoppers. And our faith truly can trust God. We overcome, according to 1 John, even by our faith. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God exalted him. Look what it says in verse number 3. He's the lifter up of mine head. Let me give you the picture. Barefooted, weeping, brother, mother, father, no, son, my son. Absalom. The Bible says in 2 Samuel, he had his head lowered. God said, lift up that head, boy. God said, lift up that head, boy. Look to me. God was reminding him that the position that he had in the place of service that he had was not something that he had volunteered for. He was the chosen of the Jesse's crowd. And everybody thought it would be one of his brothers, but it was him. And he had not sought the position. God had given him that kingship. And if God had given it to him until God was through with him, and even when he was, it would never end, because there would be somebody kin to him that will eventually rule and reign from Zion's hill. He not only encircled him, he exalted him, but thirdly, would you realize that he encouraged him? He encouraged him. How did he encourage him? He said, lift up thy head, David. Truly, 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 you're mine. And then he also embraced it. Look at verse 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Notice the prayer of faith. And he heard me. P.T. Forsyth said, prayer is the highest use to which speech can ever be put. Mountains can only be climbed on bent knees. We gotta kneel before we leap. There's nowhere else to go but to our God. And David is exhibiting this dependence of unshaken faith. Now, the major part of my sermon is this third point. Actually, if you read this song in the Hebrew, it's four stanzas. It has Selah after the first two. The third stanza doesn't have a Selah, because the third stanza and the fourth stanza go together. But when you sing this song, the strophes in the Hebrew is four stanzas. David here begins to sing. the next morning. Now, where's the enemy? Right over the hill. Not far away. I want you to see three or four things here. First of all, notice the calmness of David. He said he slept all night. Now you say, well, he's physically tired. That's why he slept all night. I've been physically tired and couldn't sleep. Verse 5, I laid me down and slept. And I waked, and the Lord sustained me. They had the numbers, but David had faith. David had a good night, now he was having a good morning. And the reason is because God works while we sleep. I'm sure Harold knows this writer, Finley Yon. Manly Beasley introduced me to him. Finley Yon says, when we sleep in peace in the arms of God, is when we yield ourselves only to his providence. David had resigned to the will of God. If he died, he'd make it. If he didn't die. But I believe he had a word that he wasn't going to die. Because I want you to notice the next point. His courage. David says in this verse, I will not be afraid of 10,000s. Now let me give you the picture of what happened. Remember I told you that Ahithophel, David's major counselor, was now with Absalom. Who was Ahithophel? Bathsheba's grandfather. He was going to give counsel. David prayed, if you'll find in 2 Samuel, what David had prayed when he cried to the Lord was this: turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. God put that in his heart, Brother Harold. Now, immediately when David fled and was on the run, Absalom called in Ahithophel and said, what should I do? He said, here's what you should do. You stay back here. I've got enough army right now with the soldiers that I have. We'll overtake him while he's in flee, and we will take him out. But you didn't know that David had planted a CIA agent. A Christ intelligence agent. His name was Hushai. And Hushai had come out when David was fleeing and said, I'm going with you, King. He said, oh, no, I want you to go back. My son thinks a lot of you. I want you to go back and you tell him that as you were loyal to me, you will help him. And so Hushai had met Absalom and said to him, as David and his few soldiers were fleeing, he said, I'm here. And he didn't lie, but he didn't tell all the truth either. In other words, when Absalom asked him questions. He was brief, and Hushai had gained his respect. And so Absalom, after hearing Ahithophel's advice, he said, "Hushai, what do you think of that?" Hushai said, "Not much." He said, "Let me tell you something about your daddy." He said, "You know your daddy's like a bear without cubs. He's mad right now. Your daddy's probably hiding somewhere in a cave. And he's got some, and your daddy is just going to lie in wait for you. If you allow this little group of men to go and to try to overtake him, they will be destroyed. Your daddy's got Joab. He's been working out at the fitness club. I mean, you really need to be careful here. You're coming up against, you know, your dad, man, he whooped Goliath. I mean, you just understand something. Your dad's not going to give up without a fight." He said, "Well, what do you think I ought to do?" He says, "Here's what y'all do." He said, "Don't you stay behind. Let's wait a few days, or let's get it together, and you lead out the army, and we'll get everybody, and we'll just wipe them out." Then he told the priest's little boys about it, and they ran. To David. And said, "Let me tell you the plan." Why? Because Hushai appealed to Absalom's pride. "You're the man, Absalom. You're the man." And Absalom looked at Ahithophel and said, "I'm going to do what Hushai said." Ahithophel immediately got his knapsack, went to his house where he was from, and hung himself. Now, here's what I used to think. I used to think the reason he did that is because he was offended that Absalom didn't listen to his advice. Don't any longer believe that. I think Wiersbe hits the nail on the head. Wiersbe says the reason he probably did that is because he knew that his advice was the best advice, and this advice would not work, and that David would win, and David would kill him. And he didn't want David to kill him, so he killed himself. Now, you don't have to agree with that, but I believe it's right on. So it gave David's camp, time to get their act together and divide into three different groups. And then for these soldiers who were Philistines had fled with David, and they were pretty good soldiers too. And David had three battalions, and he divided his group into three battalions. And they said to David, "Don't you go with us. You stay back." Now, you know the story, but if you don't, I'm going to tell it to you. The day of the battle, David had said this to all of his three generals. "You tell every soldier not to touch my boy." Now, here's what you learn about family fire. You can't control what your children do, but you can control what you do. And you also can forgive them if they never ask for forgiveness. David, in his heart, knew how to sin, but David knew how to forgive. And David had forgiven Absalom before the battle ever started. Because thirdly, we're going to see the conquest. See, God will move in people's hearts to show us favor. When that favor will accomplish his purposes. You need to write that down. If I didn't say anything worth repeating, that's worth repeating. God moves in the hearts of people to show us favor. When that favor will accomplish his purposes. Remember, William Cooper said, God moves in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storms. See, God in his love wills what is best for us. In his wisdom, he knows what is best. And in his sovereignty, he has the power to carry it out. That's why we can have faith in our God. Well, here's the story. Absalom is leading the charge. Remember, Absalom didn't like to get a haircut. He's good looking, but he had long, long, long hair. Now, I'm not going to preach about long hair. Some of you ain't got hair. I mean, really. But his hair got caught in a tree. His mule went on out from under him. And the soldiers were there. And they did not take his life. They honored David, but told Joab about it. Joab said, where's he at? I got three darts. Through the heart of Absalom. Remember, Joab was the one who arranged for Absalom to return back to the kingdom after he had killed Amnon. And then what had happened between Joab and Absalom? He had burned his barley field. Joab killed him. The battle was won. The runner came to the camp. We won! We won! We won the battle! How about my boy? He's dead. Buried him in a pit. Oh, Absalom. Oh, Absalom. I'd rather it had been me. Jesus said, I didn't come to send peace in a home, but a sword. It's too many preachers preach as if you can have a perfect family. Every one of us here has got a dysfunctional family. And you're dysfunctional apart from Jesus because you got Adam's nature about you. But I'm not going to give up on mine. As long as I got breath in me, I've got one that's out there and she doesn't know him. And I've prayed more for her here this week than any time in my life. God's done something for me personally concerning my own desire. Let me tell you what you need to do when you go home. Anything that is not right in your family, have a Jesus meeting. Humble yourself. Because a lot of the family fire that I've had is not because, maybe, of one of my children. It's me lighting the match myself. I'd encourage you to always take the lower position. If you're reckoning yourself dead and you know the cross, that means that you're letting your moderation be known that you're nothing. And build the bridge. With anyone and everyone. And forgive. And forgive. And ask for forgiveness. Family fire wasn't in here. Later, another son of David's would die. Every one of us, when we have distress from unexpected foes, let's have dependence. Dependence. That is unwavering faith. And there will be eventually, whether it's here before you die or after you die, the deliverance of unequaled, undeniable favor of God. God has plans for you, and they're plans for good and not for evil. And they're plans that have a hope. Let's stand together.